right, well, turn with me to Mark chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 1 through 12, which we're going to be reading today. A familiar story to many of us. It's the healing of the man, the paralytic, that was lowered through the roof, and Jesus healed him and also forgave his sins, and he stood up, and the people were amazed. And so that's going to be our main text for the day. We're ending our series. We've been talking about these last 4 weeks about why do we gather. We started off about why do we gather as a church. 3 weeks ago, Dave and Sarah talked about equipping the church. We're here to equip people. Last week, we talked about we give hope. Our main thing is that we give hope in Jesus' name. And then today, it'll be here on your screen here. We're going to talk about our last kind of pillar at Crosspoint is that we create opportunities for people to experience God and each other. And so these are the three things at Crosspoint. We give hope, we equip people, and we create opportunities. And today I want to talk to you about that here. And this is our main text, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And so if you got that, let's go ahead and then we're going to read it here. I'll read it here. And I'm reading out of the ESV. Let's start here with our text. It says, "And when he returned to Capernaum," that was Jesus, "after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak life like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and he went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let's pray, church. Father, in these next few moments, we just pray that you would illuminate your word in our heart and our mind and our soul. We pray that your word would go forth in power. And I pray that, God, we would create opportunities for others to experience you, just like this paralytic. That, God, you would help us, God, bring others to you, to talk to others about you, Jesus, that they would encounter the life-giving, changing power of the Son of God. And we pray this all in your strong name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today's message is going to be short and sweet, to the point. Many of you, I'm assuming, if we raise our hands, we've heard the story probably multiple times in our lives, this story. And a lot of times the story does deal with the faith, you know, it's a faith passage, faith and healing. And that is true. But I want to ask you and to kind of reframe this through this, about creating opportunities. This is always preached about, it's faith. You know, do you have faith to bring someone to Jesus? And that is good. And do you have faith in God? Yes. But I want to reframe this in the create opportunities about, are we creating opportunities for others to meet Jesus or encounter him? And so with that, let me dive in here. In the first verse, we see that Jesus was at home. He was in someone's home. We don't know whose home he was in, but he was in some type of home gathering where he was at. And I want to remind us that when we gather, we're at home with one another. We're at home because the brethren and the sisters are gathered together. Now we can be at home in this building. We can be at home in your home. We could be home together when we gather around a dining room table, or we're at a campsite, or we're out by the lake and you're meeting with friends. And you can be at home together wherever the Spirit of the Lord is in each of his temples. When we gather together, that's a home for us. That's a holy gathering. And the point for us is this, is that we create opportunities anywhere we go to bring people into the presence of God and around Jesus and who Jesus is in our life and what he's doing in our lives. And I want to start with this, that Jesus was at home. He wasn't in a church service. He wasn't at the temple. He was just at someone's home, and life-changing power happened, and a life-changing situation happened. And so I want to encourage us that this is so important that we gather. Why do we gather? We gather corporately to encourage, to strengthen, to admonish, to correct, to hold each other accountable. But I want to remind us that the God's work, his power, His working power doesn't happen here at Crosspoint from 10:30 to noon on Sundays. That's not it. God doesn't reside here. He resides in you, and wherever you go, and when you gather with two or three or four or five, there he is with you, and he works in us, and he works in his church. We are the mobile church. I mean, if you didn't know that, did you guys know that we have a mobile church? right? We are mobile. We're the mobile church. Yeah, we have a physical location. We come every so often, but we're the mobile church. We're on the go. So with that, let's dive in. I've just got five quick points for us here. Let me go to the next slide here. First is this. Why is it important to create opportunities? Why is it important to create opportunities for people to experience God and to experience one another? First is this. It gets people to the ultimate source of truth. Look at verse 2 here. And it says, "And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them." Now, we don't know the context. Why did these four men bring this paralyzed guy to Jesus? I would surmise to us that they must have heard Jesus preaching the word, and they knew that Jesus was the ultimate source of truth, that Messiah had come, and now Messiah was preaching the word. And as we know from Scripture, how many times did it say that the people were amazed at Jesus for what? He preached with authority. Not like the scribes or the Pharisees, but he preached with authority. He preached the truth. And so why do we create opportunities? Because we get to bring people to the ultimate source of truth. When we gather together, I want to encourage you, don't miss the opportunity to preach the word. Now, that doesn't mean when you're at, you know, Subway or at McDonald's, you stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, Mark 2. But when you gather, wherever you are, bring people to the word of God. You could be having coffee. You could be at work, and you can hear something. You can say, "Hey, let me introduce you to what the scripture says. Let me tell you what Jesus says." Billy Graham used to always say, "The Bible says." Church, we can't be afraid of what the Bible says, right? We don't have to back this thing up or coax it or say, "Hey, well, so-and-so believes what this." No, we can just say, "Jesus said. The word says this." We create opportunities so we can bring people to the ultimate source of truth. These four gentlemen knew that Jesus, in his words and his physical being, were the source of truth, period. Hard stop right there. And that's what we get to do. Whenever we get together at Crosspoint, when we bring things, we always want to interject the gospel. Now, we don't play bait and switch, right? We don't say, hey, come to the Crosspoint for this event, and we're going to have fun and food and giveaways, and then we're going to, do a three-hour presentation of the gospel, and then we're going to give you food and a giveaways, right? All right, that's a bait and switch. We don't do that. We say, hey, come, but we're going to speak truth and speak to your physical needs. We're going to do both. We're not going to, secretly or be secret sensitive and, we don't want to offend people, so we're going to, do an hour presentation, and then we'll just say Jesus at the very end and don't want to offend anybody. No, we're loud and we're proud. How many of you here for the comedy night? It's a great comedy night last week, right? Packed out room, fun night. But in the middle, at the very end, Drew gave a simple two and a half minute presentation. Very clear. True joy only comes from Jesus. I've met Jesus so I can have true joy. That's even better than laughter. Very simple. Very to the point. Straight to the source of truth. I want to encourage us. Why we create opportunities is that we get to bring people to the ultimate source of truth. And these gentlemen did that here in verse 2. Romans 4, 10, 14, 15 reminds us, like we said in our Kingdom Builders, how can people hear and believe if they don't hear someone, if we don't bring them to the truth, if we don't speak the truth? And once again, it is not my job to be the all-compassing speaker of the truth in Siouxland. Each one of you are part of the royal priesthood. You get to speak the truth and bring the truth to people here in Siouxland. Point number 2 is this. Why is it important to create opportunities? Is this. It gives us the privilege to remove obstacles for others. Look at verse 4 here. Look at verse 4. It says, "And when they could not get near him," we know this, it was crowded, that they went up on the roof, they took the roof off, and they lowered him through. You and I get the privilege, of removing obstacles in people's life, removing barriers between them and Jesus. That's a gift that we have, that we get to do. If you remember, Jesus compelled us to go out into all the world. He didn't say, go out, and if you hit an obstacle, stop. He said, go out and keep going and find ways to get around those things. When we go out and remove obstacles, what are we doing? We are welcoming people into the presence of Jesus. Now, these gentlemen, when they removed the roof, they literally lowered this man. Now, Scripture doesn't say per se, but, Jesus wasn't off hidden in the corner. And he was surprised. We probably can assume that he was somewhere of a small home. He was somewhere central gathering where everybody could hear him or see him. And these men lowered him in the middle of the roof. He's coming down. This guy got to see Jesus. There was nothing between him and Jesus now. The roof was gone. The roof was torn off. And the man saw Jesus. In Matthew 18, verses 1 through 9, this is a familiar passage. Remember when the disciples held the children back from Jesus? You guys remember this? The children were coming, and they were trying to come hang out with Jesus, give him a hug. We don't know the whole circumstance, but the disciples said, no. Children, stay away from Jesus. He's too holy. He's too busy. And what did Jesus do? He rebuked them. Yeah, he said, suffer not. Let the children come to me. He said, get out of the way, disciples. He removed the obstacle and said, let the children come to me. He welcomed them. And the Bible says he put them on his lap. He hugged them. He blessed them. And then what did he say? He said, woe to the one who put stumbling blocks in front of these little ones. It'd be better for you to what, have a millstone and throw it into the sea. Once again, church, we have a high privilege, whether it's children, whether it's the teenagers, whether it's middle age, or senior citizens, we get the privilege of removing obstacles between the people and our Savior. But Jesus said also, though, woe to you that place the obstacles in between me and the people. Woe to you. In Romans 16, 7, Paul, he urges the young church at Rome. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Excuse me. In this, the why we create obstacles is that you and I get to remove, when we create opportunities, excuse me, we get to remove obstacles, and that's a privilege we get to get. And so when we meet here, when we create events at the Comedy Night or other things like that, we want to help remove obstacles from people encountering Jesus, no matter what it is. And that's a privilege to us. We get to remove those things. Number three is this. Why is it important to create opportunities? It displays and produces faith within us that heals others. Now, it's one thing we know to confess Jesus and say we love him, we believe in him. But it's another thing to actively gather together, invite people, pray with people, say, hey, come and encounter the King. Come encounter this Jesus that we talk about. Look at verse 5 here. It says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, I've always been perplexed by this verse. I don't know about you. My whole life. This person never asked for forgiveness. Never said the sinner's prayer. Never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. It was the faith of these ones where Jesus said, this faith, he saw their faith and said, man, your sins are forgiven. I don't know what to do with that. I've been a pastor for many years, a believer. That's a perplexing proposition. And then Jesus said another times, Jesus said, hey, your faith has healed this other ones in the physical abnormality. The person didn't even ask. There's multiple parables in the Gospels where the person that was injured or physically disabled didn't ask for the healing, but Jesus said, hey, their friend's faith healed you. That's perplexing. But it should encourage us that why do we create opportunities? Because it produces and displays faith within us that heals others. It's one thing to say, hey, I believe in faith healing and Jesus can heal and he wants to restore and redeem. It's another thing to bring people into that and to encounter that. Or so it's another thing to pray with your coworker at work who says God is false, he's antiquated, you know, this is all made up mumbo jumbo, ancient religion. And say, okay, but I'm still going to pray right now for healing. That takes a lot of faith, but it produces faith in us. And what happens when that person gets healed? Whoa, have you seen that? I've been part of that. I've seen people that said, hey, I don't believe in God, but they've come to this church, say, hey, I need help. And the church, we've helped them with rent or food. And then guess what? All of a sudden, God has shown up in their life. We reached out, somebody else helped them. And all of a sudden, they've come back to me and said, you know, Pastor Dan, I still don't believe in God, but there's something weird going on in my life. I'm getting blessings. I'm feeling peace. I don't know what to deal with this. I'm forgiving my dad who's been mean to me my whole life. Like, what's going on with me? Once again, our faith, our generosity produces healings in others. And this verse here, it goes against some of the hard scripture. You know, got to say the sinner's prayer. That is true. However, when we remove obstacles, it produces faith. And that's part of our goal as mature disciples. Is to bring others, even when they doubt, even when they think, man, this thing is false, God can't heal me, God can't save my marriage or get me that job promotion, we say, hold on now, and bring them to the presence, bring them to Jesus and to the people of God. Our job is to help remove those stumbling blocks, and these blocks, let me remind us, can be physical, financial, educational, relational, spiritual, so forth and so on. This guy's block was healing in a physical roof, in a packed room. But we meet many people in our day-to-day walks that have a lot of different obstacles in our life. I want to encourage you, church, be obstacle removers and bring them to the presence of Jesus. The fourth one is this. Is why is it important to create opportunities? It gives greater opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak and to convict human hearts. And here's what I mean by this. We know that the Holy Spirit is active. He's everywhere, and he can convict and remind us and that God is real. He's the seal of salvation, as Scripture says. But when we create opportunities for people to encounter the Lord's people and the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit is going to be there and do a great work. Look at verses 6 through 11 here. Look at this here. It says, now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, once again, no one knew, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit, Jesus had a word of knowledge in his divine nature, Jesus perceived that they questioned within themselves, and he said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, we know, your sins are forgiven, or to rise up and take your bed and walk. But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. Now, when we gather and create opportunities, it does give a greater role here. Think about this. There was these Pharisees sitting here questioning their hearts, and there was all the people. Let's just say there was 30 or 40 people in this little tiny little house there, packed in. The people didn't know what the Pharisees were thinking or were their disbelief. But because of these four men that have faith that said, hey, we've heard the word of God. We've seen this Messiah. He can heal. We had the faith to bring our friend, rip the roof off, lower them down. The scribes didn't believe it. They were questioning in their hearts disbelief and saying, this can't be the Messiah. This guy's false. And this can't be what the Father, what God, Adonai would have done or worked. But the Holy Spirit gave, through Jesus' divine nature, gave him a word of knowledge. And Jesus turned and said, hey, why are you questioning me? Why are you not believing in the Messiah? Why are you not believing in the word of God that was sent to you here? Psalms 139:2 reminds us, King David writes, he says, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Verse 4 goes on to say, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Scripture says that the scribes, their thoughts were in there. But we know the Holy Spirit, the role of the Spirit is to do what? It's to convict us. In John 14 and 16, Jesus gives us the most clear description of what the Holy Spirit's role is. In John 16, 8 through 11, it says, when he comes, meaning the Spirit, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands, condemned. In that first part here, the scribes didn't believe in Jesus, but the Spirit there spoke to Jesus and said, hey, these guys are not believing in you. They're not believing in the mission of you. And through the power of the Spirit, Jesus called them out. And whenever we gather, and whenever we gather and create opportunities to be together, it's a great opportunity for the Spirit to convict and to strengthen, to have words of knowledge, words of discernment, words of prophecy, words of tongues, words of revelation, so forth and so on. And we don't want to take for granted when we get together that the Spirit's moving. We want to be a people of the Spirit. Not in the crazy, wacko, oh, it's about showy and, you know, those crazy people on TV, but we want to be people of the Spirit where His Spirit is alive and breathing and working in us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, be a part of us. Speak to us, convict us, guide us, remind us of the words of what Jesus spoke. And in this, and when we gather, the Holy Spirit gets to move. And there's something about it. I don't know how to put it together, but how many of you know when we get together, man, it seems like the Spirit's amplified. Or He speaks, or sometimes there's a stronger sense. You can feel it in the Spirit. You can feel it when brothers gather together, or sisters and gather together. We worship, we pray, we talk. And how many of you have been a part of a group or someone, and you just felt, you're like, hey, you know what? Naomi, I feel like the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me. You know, I don't know if this is for you or not, but I just feel like the Spirit's saying, hey, you know, you need to let this go. And all of a sudden, there was another confirmation, and Naomi's like, you're right. You know, I've been feeling that. I didn't know what to do, but I thought it was in my head, but I thought the Lord was telling me to let go of this or something. You know, we've all been a part of that. And that's part of that Spirit gathering together here. And we see this in this parable, that the Spirit had a chance to speak and convict. And once again, the people around them sitting there were like, whoa, who is Jesus? He knows the thoughts of men. How many of them probably thought, growing up in synagogue, every week hearing the Psalms being read, I bet you a lot of them thought, ooh, the Lord said in Psalms that He knows our thoughts. So if this guy's reading thoughts, this guy must be the Lord. This must be the promised one, the Messiah. This must be God Almighty, the Adonai. How? Because only He can know the thoughts of man. Lastly is this. Why is it important to create opportunity? It creates amazement of and praises to God alone. Look at verse 12 here. It says, and when he rose, the man that was paralyzed. Now I can imagine about you guys. I mean, I've never personally seen anyone healed like this where they've been physically unable to walk or paralyzed and get up. I've seen other miracles, but I've never seen this. But think about this. He got up in front of him, picked up his bed, and he went out before them all so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Now, a lot of us at times, we'll say, man, I've never seen anything like that. Have you ever said that, right? I remember when I got my first computer at home. I was like, whoa, a computer? I've never seen anything like this. Remember when I held my first iPhone? Whoa, I've never seen anything like this. You know? How many of you have been there? You've seen something you're amazed at. I mean, right? Or you know, let's go back. You know, invention of electricity, the telephone, whatever it is. People were amazed. But church, this is true amazement. When we create opportunities for people to meet God, remove the obstacles, people get to see the amazement and wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true awe and wonder. And I want to remind us that people don't need an awe and wonder at Cross Point Church. People don't need an awe and wonder at Heartland Baptist, Morningside, Elevate, Sunnybrook, Sioux City First, Central Baptist. People don't need an awe and wonder at our churches. Some of you might be thinking, ooh, is that bad? Is that gospel? It is. Because who do people need an awe and wonder at? Jesus. What does Scripture say? Did the people here say, oh, those disciples, man, my man, they are awesome. Did the people here look to the four men and say, these four guys, oh, wow, they're so cool, and oh, my goodness. No, what did they say? What does Scripture say? They said what they were all amazed and glorified God. The church doesn't need anybody looking at us. Not because it's wrong or we're self-deprecating. It's just because we don't have anything to offer other than Jesus. Right? I don't have any good preaching to offer. I don't have great programs to offer. Our churches, we have good things we do, but church, all of that is like down here. It's probably sub-level, and Jesus is the glory and the prize we want people to praise. Whenever we gather and create opportunities, we want people to see Jesus and Him glorified. We want people to walk away from our events saying, hey, man, I've met the Lord. Man, those people, they worship Jesus. Those people, they push everything to Jesus. And not, once again, it's not wrong to have good programs, to do things with excellence, right? Right? There's nothing wrong with that. You guys know that in my heart and our hearts as leadership here. We want to have people speak well. If Jesus said, let people see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. There is something to having a good testimony of your actions and your deeds. But once again, church, I'm not looking at anybody to praise Crosspoint. I'm not looking at anybody to get online and give us 1,000, you know, five-star Yelp reviews or whatever, you know, or in Google ratings and be like, ooh, Crosspoint's the best church ever. No. Hey, that's all good. If we get that, praise the Lord. If we don't, praise the Lord. But if we have people in Sioux City saying, man, God is good. I've seen Him at work. I've seen Him remove things out of my life. I've been healed, restored, redeemed. I've seen my marriages restored. I've seen my job promotion. I've seen my body healed. I've seen forgiveness in my own heart. Praise the Lord, church. That is what we live for, that God gets the glory. Like that last song we sang in worship, 1,000 hallelujahs and 1,000 more. It doesn't say 1,000 hallelujahs to the church or the Cross Point or the Assemblies of God or the non-denominations or the Baptists or Presbyterians or the Methodists. None of that matters. It's all praise to God alone. May God get the praise and the glory. And so when we create opportunities, it creates amazement and praises to God alone. And that is our heart, and that is why we gather and we do these things. So I want to end with this. There's a song that just came out by Brandon Lake. Many of you know him, Brandon Lake, the Christian artist. And he just had a song that came out, and his new album just came out, I think, just 2 months ago. And it's called Tear Off the Roof, and he talks about this parable specifically. But this is what he says in verse 1 here. It's on your screen here. It says, tear off the roof. The king's in the house. Just get me to Jesus. I don't care how. I don't have to wait to get the healing. I've got faith without a ceiling. So tear off the roof. And then it goes into the chorus here. And it says, there's power in the presence, power in the blood, power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the presence, power in the blood, power in the name of Jesus. And he has more in the hem of his garment than in the camp of the enemy. There's power in the presence, power in the blood, power in the name of Jesus. I want to highlight here what's interesting. As a songwriter, he didn't say there's power in the church building. He didn't say there's power in the Assemblies of God or there's power in Cross Point name. What did he say? There's power in Jesus alone. And then the bridge goes to this. There is life-changing, grave-shaking, dead-raising power in the room. Heart-healing, hell-stealing, no ceiling power, so tear off the roof. I want to remind us today, church, you and I, we create opportunities by tearing off the roofs that are in between people and Jesus. And there's obstacles in your life that you need to have Jesus tear off the roof and you need to get to Jesus in your own life. But I'm going to remind us, why do we create opportunities? It's this bridge. I love it. When we create opportunities, man, there is life changing. There's life changement that happens. There's grave shaking, dead raising, mighty working power of Jesus that happens. And that happens in this room, in your jobs, in maybe in that company truck you're driving with your coworker. Man, God can tear off that roof and anything that's obstacle between that person and Jesus, and you get to be a part of that church. You get to create the opportunity for people to experience God and experience the Lord's people. And that's part of our calling here, to do that. That everything we do, are we helping people get to Jesus? And the unadulterated, the unfiltered, the concentrate, man, Jesus is it. He's the only hope we've got. It's the only thing we offer in this life is Jesus alone. And so with that, go ahead and stand up with me here, and we're going to close. And here's my question for you today is, what roof do you need God to tear off in your life? What roof do you need God to tear off in your life? Now, a lot of you, you might be in a good place, praise God, but there might be something, maybe it's a small thing in your life. You're like, God, I need help in that. It's not a major thing, but small. Maybe you're here today and you've got a level 10 thing. You've got seven roofs in between you and Jesus. Or you feel like that. Or you're feeling, God, I've got this massive obstacle in front of me, and I need you to tear off the roof. But more importantly, you know what we need, church? We need each other, because just like these four men took their friend to Jesus. And Jesus has given us the body of Christ to be his hands and feet until we see him again. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put on some music just quickly, and we're going to take a quick time to pray with one another. So by upraised hands, I'm going to ask you to be honest, right? We're the family of God here, right? We're the family of God. I'm going to raise my hand first, because I'll go first. I've got some obstacles in my life. I need God to heal. If you have an obstacle, raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a level 10 thing or level 1. It could be something very simple. It's okay, right? Doesn't mean God's not working in your life or he's powerful in your life. There's an obstacle in your life. We want to pray with you for that. So keep your hands raised, all right? And look around the room, all right? I want you to go to somebody that's got their hand raised and pray with them. If you've got your hand raised, go find somebody. If you don't know them, doesn't matter. We got people in the back. We got people over here. Turn around, find somebody. Doesn't matter if you don't know them, do know them. All right, we got Kent back here in the media booth. And if you don't have your hand raised up, go to someone. Go to someone, and we're going to take just 3 minutes. That's just 3 minutes, and we're going to go have community. So let's pray. Ask them, what is your need? And let's pray. So let's pray, church. Come on, let's pray. What is your need?